But he's hanging out down here with us, and so I wanted him to come and share a little bit about church events. Yeah, absolutely, Jack.
Thank you, Stan.
God bless you.
Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, it is my pleasure to be here and such an honor to be with you all. I'll let you know, I did not come dressed for this incredibly warm weather. I come up from the northern region, and when I left Palm Coast in the northern region, it was around 45. We got down here, and it is amazing. I don't know. Maybe I don't want to be the northern region director anymore. Well, it is an honor to come to you and bring greetings from the district. Stan and I, we have served together. We served together on with the district executive committee for quite some time. And I had the great privilege of getting to know Stan and working with him. And we liked each other most of the time. I really appreciate what you said up here, Stan, because I'm going through the bulletin. And I got to be honest, I'm looking at this bulletin and I'm going, they put people in the doghouse here. I looked at my wife, I said, we got to get out. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to be in trouble. And so, by the way, this is my amazing wife over here. Her name is Amanda. Everybody say hi, Amanda. Yeah. And I appreciate that she puts up with me. So this is great. But And then Stan got up here and talked about dogs and how your dog, and because we have two dogs, and your dog is so faithful, loves to see you regardless of what you look like or anything else. And no matter what you've done, your dog loves to see. And my wife looked at me and she goes, that's what church is missing. It needs dogs. And then you explained to the doghouse thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's it. That makes so much sense. So that'd be great. So, Stan, let's put some dogs in the sanctuary and then let's have the doghouse. Is that how it's going to work? Okay, anyway. Well, I'm going to share with you. Stan told me take about, 10 minutes, share a little bit about what was going on. So that obviously means I'm going to take 20. But I want to share with you a little bit about what Church Advance is and really just kind of give you an idea of what's happening. And here's what I'm going to say first, though. If you hear something today that resonates with you, go to lunch, let it ruminate in your mind, and then will you send Pastor Stan an email thanking him for his preaching? It was always one of my pet peeves when I was the pastor of a congregation. If you're parents, you understand this whole thing. I could preach the same message 10 times. But someone else comes in and says the exact same thing I preached, and everyone in the congregation is like, I heard that for the first time ever. So let me tell you, and I'm not preaching a whole message today, but I may say something. And if it sparks something in you today, it's not because of me, but because you are blessed with an incredible pastor who is working hard and praying for you to be everything that God desired for you to be. My role here in the district, I was recently the lead pastor of Palm Coast Bible Church, another connection that Stan and Melinda and I have and our families have on that side. They have my heart, that congregation does. And my family, we are still members of that congregation, but they're going to go through a transition now and a pastoral change. So will you be praying for Palm Coast Bible Church as they seek the next lead pastor for that congregation? My official title, as we're trying to figure out, is called the Church Advance and North Central Regional Director. The longest title I have ever had. And here's what it really means. I'm responsible for about two things. Number one, I'm responsible for the oversight, care, and resourcing of official workers and congregations in the North Central region. So your, what we would call a regional director, your regional director is John Sapia. You've probably seen him a few times. He's come up here, said hi to you all. He serves in this role for you and your pastor. But let me tell you why that's important. Because as the regional directors, we will always ensure that your pastor and his family have everything they need to fulfill their calling. Additionally, John is available to you through your pastor to provide resources that will help you participate in God's mission. I spoke with somebody just earlier as the worship was gathering. He was asking me about some questions about, do we have this? Do we have this? That's where John comes in through your pastor to help you figure out what those things are. And so I encourage you to be in there. But the reason why I'm here at this congregation and in my role at this congregation is I'm in charge of a district-wide policy to put infrastructure in place that promotes congregational vibrancy and vitality that equips the church to participate in God's mission. In other words, I serve the leaders and the congregations of the Alliance Southeast to build healthy congregations that are participating in God's mission and multiplying their kingdom impact. And so I want to help New Life fulfill your calling to participate in Jesus' healing and redemptive work, both here and all over the world, which is what we're going to talk about today. Now, I don't know how many of you, and this is a fairly young crowd, so I don't think you're there yet. When I turned 40, somebody said I need glasses. Is that what I just heard? We'll just take it for that. All right, so when I turned 40, something happened that I did not realize was going to have to happen. I got old, number one, right? My eyesight started to go. I get that. I had to go have routine checkups. Like, I had to go to the doctor once a year for the doctor to say whether or not I was healthy. And I would look at the doctor sometimes, and he would say to me, "Well, Jack, this is what's wrong here." I said, "All right, doctor, fix it." He goes, no, that's just the way you are now. You feel that sometimes, don't you? All right? But I would have to go for these routine checkups, and they're a necessary part of my living because now that I hit a certain age or had gone through this, there were things that I wasn't paying attention to in my youth that now had to require some focus. All right, and we all feel that, don't we? Well, the church and congregations, we need the same type of routine checkup. We tend to get stuck as the church in both our thinking and our doing. And what was once natural to us becomes an area of intentional focus. And just like a routine health checkup, the only purpose of a routine church checkup is to make sure that we are firing on all cylinders and being exactly what God has called us to be, which I find right here in 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to read this to you. It's starting in verse 11 of chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and he's trying to explain to them what their purpose is, and he says, "Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. Christ's love controls us." Other translations say urge us or compel us to do this. That's part of what we are called to do. We are compelled to do just this, that God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. "For God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors, and God is making His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, 'Come back to God.'" Isn't that what we want to see in our society today? Come back to God. So as the church, you and I, we are given this responsibility and power to participate with God in His mission to redeem the world and bring humanity back into a relationship with Him. We might call this Missio Dei. Everybody say Missio Dei. Let's try again. Everybody say Missio Dei. All right, you're learning some Latin here today. That's good. All right, so this is the Latin term for the mission of God and for the sending of God. We are both called to be on mission and called to be sent. The church, you and I, we are a living, breathing, active, inspired person joining together with other living, breathing, active, inspired peoples with the express purpose to live for God. So I want you to be aware that your responsibility, church, is that God is known when you make Him known. And that's what it means to advance the church. So when we say church advance, we are advancing the church. I appreciate the Lauren Daigle song that the worship team played. That was a You Say. Did you know that Lauren Daigle is one of these people that is part of the church who is advancing the church? I found out just last week, Universal Studios has their Mardi Gras event. If you've ever been to that type of thing, it's in Orlando, it's a Mardi Gras event. Lauren Daigle is one of the featured guests for Mardi Gras. Talk about advancing the church, right? Right? See, Colossians 1, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Christ is the visible image of the invisible God." And then he goes on to say, "For God in all of His fullness was pleased to live in Christ." And then he gets to verse 27. And he looks at this group of the people at Colossae, and he says, "And Christ lives in you." Christ lives in you. Jesus lives in you. And not only that, God is pleased to live in you. Do not miss that part. You are God's choice to advance the church. And through your words, your thoughts, your attitudes, and your actions, you express Jesus. Everything you do shows Jesus to your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, classmates, your family. You are the walking, breathing, real-life, tangible image of God. You are what we would call Imago Dei. Everybody say Imago Dei? All right, you're learning two Latin phrases today. That's the image of God is Imago Dei. So together, we are going to make sure that we fulfill our calling to be the best image of God in this world. I'm going to read two more scripture passages to you, and then I'll be finished. Matthew 5. I like this out of the Message translation. Jesus is looking at his disciples, those that, you know, he is going to say, you have to go do this. And he says this, let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. For if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors of the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. And if I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? No, I'm going to put you on a nightstand, a light stand. And now that I've put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine and keep open house. Be generous with your lives by opening up to others. You will prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So I am praying for you, New Life, that you will continue to advance the church as you've already been doing, and as we keep being the image of God in this world. Stan, thank you for letting me share that with you today and for letting me share with this amazing congregation. I can't wait to come back again. I think I'm taking over this region too. This is great. All right, now, as Stan gets ready to come up in here and preach, let me read to you out of Mark chapter 1. This is his passage today as he gives you these words. This is Jesus sharing about what happened. This is in Capernaum. So Mark chapter 1, verse 21. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? You have come to destroy us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Oh, that's so good. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Here it is. This is the church advance part right here. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is a word from the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Come on. Let me squeeze. Appreciate you so much. Thank you. Appreciate you hanging out with us. I'm sure I could speak on behalf of the congregation. You're welcome to come back anytime. Give you a little more time in the pulpit. You can preach a good word to us. In our scriptures this morning, we're looking at Jesus early in his ministry. He's leaving Nazareth and heading to Capernaum because he was basically kicked out of Nazareth. Can't be a prophet in your hometown. They wanted to kill him there. Get out. So he heads towards Capernaum. And along the way, he picks up a few disciples. Probably leftovers or those that are hanging around that were hanging around John the Baptist. And he picks up a couple along the way into Capernaum. And they probably go to Capernaum because that's where Simon Peter's from. And so they head there, which is a heavy populated Jewish area. Capernaum is a thriving, bustling kind of a port city. Lots of people full of life. People from all over would gather and go there and live there and trade there and market there and do all kinds of business there. and it's the Sabbath, and Jesus goes to synagogue in Capernaum. So let's just camp there for a second. Have you ever heard this? If Jesus were walking around the streets today, he'd be hanging out on the street corners with all the drug dealers and the homeless and all the human traffickers trying to reach them. Scripture is very clear. Jesus hung out in the homes of sinners and he associated with all of those kind of sitters. But I would also like to point out to you, Jesus went to synagogue. He went to temple. He observed the worships and the teachings of the scriptures. Jesus did not skip church. He did not avoid the fellowship. He didn't listen to it on a podcast. He went to temple. He went to church. Church, by the way, God's idea. So what are you doing with God's idea? If God himself would go to temple, why do you avoid it? I watch it on live stream, Pastor. You know, watching on live stream, you know, that's kind of like watching a beautiful lake and then trying to take your fishing pole and cast into the lake, right? I mean, or watching a fireplace and trying to catch the warmth, right? Not quite the same, right? What it is you have just an image of fellowship. Close, but not quite. Unfortunately, far too many have settled for the image of it. They've settled for the image of church. They've settled for the image of Christianity. They settled for the image of fellowship. They've settled for the image of what it means to be together. You can't say that Jesus only hung out in the streets with the sinners because he went to temple. He went to church. They went to Capernaum. Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. And the people were amazed at his teachings because he taught them as one who had authority, not just the teachers of the law. There's your first one. Amazing teaching. Jesus is allowed to speak within the synagogue, just not really a big deal for traveling rabbis, much like we just allowed Jack to come on and share with us and speak with us, right? We're all of similar faith. We all share in the same, right? Christianity, the fellowship, come, right? Come, speak. And that's how it was in a synagogue. Everybody, you know, men here, ladies over there. And they would speak, and they would share, and they would talk, and they would debate, and it was very conversational. Guys just hanging out. Jesus begins to speak in a way that they've never heard before. What does it mean to speak with authority? He talked louder. What does it mean? He spoke with assurance and authority, conviction. We don't know what he was talking about, but we know his words were dividing. We know that his words were piercing the hearts of people. They were challenging. They were inspiring. They were encouraging. They were thought-provoking. They stirred the soul. And why wouldn't he? Jesus is the Word. God's Word is ruffling the congregation and ruffling some feathers. Jesus inspires you. He inspires me. He stirs it up within us. He motivates you and he encourages you. Jesus' words for others anger them. He stirs it up within them. Rage and hatred and controversy, bitter divisiveness. Just mention Jesus at the next family reunion and see what happens. And he's not talking like other teachers. See, the other teachers, they kind of land more on the traditions of things, speak about their opinions. They try to impress with their knowledge and their education and their philosophy. Jesus tells it like it is because he can get to the heart of the matter. The others, they were just kind of power hungry. They gathered followers with their eloquence. They gather prestige from the admiration of other people. They seek status. They sought prominence. And that's all they really want. And that's all they ever get. The admiration of men. They have no power. They have no authority. Jesus was not and is not interested in man's shallow, fleeting admiration. The words of God are spoken by the Holy Spirit of God. When they are spoken, there is power and there is authority. When the Holy Spirit moves, people get their toes stepped on. When the Holy Spirit moves, people feel uncomfortable at times. That's why they avoid the fellowship. When the Holy Spirit moves, people will stare in amazement. What a marvelous teaching. Wow, the Holy Spirit of God is amazing. Jaws drop in wonder. People shudder when the Holy Spirit moves. Worship and praise is lifted on high. People repent and come back to the Lord. Demons cower. Enemies flee, and chains are broken. Listen, you want to see the power of God at work in the midst of his people? Look around. Look around at the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Marriages are restored. Addictions get overcome. God's carrying you through the valley and over the mountain, bringing you out of the darkness. And so it was with me, church. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came in weakness, great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on men's human wisdom, but on the very power of God. I have not lived my ministry based on my own merits. I don't have enough merits to impress anybody. I crucified myself a long time ago. I stand on the power of the Holy Spirit to work through me. I trust in the Holy Spirit to bring healing. I trust in the Holy Spirit to bring comfort, to bring peace that only he can bring. I trust the Holy Spirit to bring me my daily bread, to guide my life, to work in me and work through me, to bring you this message, this moment, and this time. You want to see the demonstration of Spirit's power? You want to see the demonstration of God's magnificent power? Just look at the darkness that's been taken out of me. Look at the pit and the mire that I've come out of. You want to see the demonstration of the Spirit's power? Look into your own heart. Look into your own soul. What has God done for you? Look, from the highway to hell to the stairway to heaven, baby. The Holy Spirit will challenge you, change you, transform your mind, and move you into Christ-likeness. The teachings of Jesus are amazing. They're soul-wrenching. They're unexplainable, and they're deeply personal. Uh-oh, now we're getting personal. You're going to have to make some decisions today. You're going to have to make some decisions today on the effectiveness and the authenticity of God's word. You're going to have to draw a conclusion about whether you believe the word of God or not. Whether these words are the inspired truth of God or not. Jesus doing an amazing teaching. And just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The impure spirit took off. So listen. Reading that, you have to believe that there's a spiritual dimension, or you have to deny it. It affects your faith and it affects your walk. You're going to have to say and believe in the spiritual dimension. Is there an invisible, powerful, dark side filled with impure spirits capable of possession? The Synoptic Gospel of Luke would call them demons. Really have to ask yourself, is that real? Is there a reality to that? Is there a reality to demons and the evil spirits? If you sell out to God's word, if you sell out to Jesus Christ, you better believe it's real. And everywhere that Jesus is, evil is confronted. Everywhere the Holy Spirit is, evil is confronted. That's your next one. Evil is confronted. You want to see a church that's alive? Evil's confronted. You want to see a church on the front lines? Evil is confronted. You want to see a church that shines the light of Jesus Christ? Darkness is expelled. Pastors, elders, district leaders, they engage in a warfare that looks to rip the church apart, that looks to rip people apart, to tear down what God is building up. Jesus just didn't hang out down on the street corners with the hookers and the drug dealers. Jesus was in church. Why was he in church? Because the evil's dwelling in the church. It's trying to infiltrate these very walls. Evil wants to disrupt and aggravate and upset and unsettle and gossip and divide and destroy. Evil wants to close these doors and not advance the gospel and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Evil roams around like a hungry lion seeking to devour someone. And listen, evil wants to dislocate. Dislocate you. Yeah, that's, did you say dislocate? Yeah, just like you dislocate your shoulder. It becomes an unfunctional part of the body. This wants to dislocate you. Evil wants to isolate you and have you sitting at home, watching the image of fellowship, watching the image of what it is to be in communion and take communion together, hoarding your money, hoarding your time, neglecting your service to the church and to the kingdom of God, neglecting God's idea. The enemy would love to get a foothold into New Life Alliance Church. The enemy would love to get a foothold into the Christian Missionary Alliance and rip it down and destroy it from the inside. But churches, the churches on the front lines, they encounter evil. They encounter sin. They encounter transgressions and laziness and disobedience and demons. You've heard me say it 1,000 times from here. Is it get your life straight and come to church? Or is it come to church and get your life straight? Well, if we believe it's come to church and get your life straight, guess what's coming? I just invited it all in. I just opened up the doors. Come on in. And there's no fear in this house. There's no fear any demon in this house. There's no fear any evil in this house. Are there any demons here? In the name of Jesus Christ, show yourself now. By the blood bought, sanctified, holy ground of Jesus Christ. Any demons here? Show yourself. I cast you out. Be gone. This is sanctified holy ground. Set aside for the good works of Jesus Christ. Be gone. Demons have no voice here. Demons have no authority here. They have no influence here. You think you got a demon in you? Gone in the name of Jesus. Gone in the name of Jesus. Gone by the blood-bought name of Jesus Christ. Father, whatever void may be left, may they be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you dare walk in fear, church. You have authority in Jesus' name. Somebody better say praise the Lord. What's going on with this guy? He just stands up and starts spouting. Do other people know him? Has he been going there a long time? Does he serve on a committee? It makes you wonder about the stuff that's around, especially when you got a pastor that says, come to church and get your life straight. What's coming? Evil tries to permeate the church, but we expel the evil. What's awesome about the teaching and the word of God is that it's with authority. The word disturbs the spiritual elements in this dark world. It makes them restless. They can't sit still. They gotta move. They gotta say something. They gotta go. The dark spiritual forces mentioned in our scripture can't keep still, and they will be exposed. I'm rarely surprised to find evil in the church. Now listen to the way I say this. I'm rarely surprised to find the evil of men in the church. Did you catch the difference? I'm concerned that professing Christians don't know the difference between evil possession and evil oppression. I talked about this before, but it's worth noting. Here's your possession versus oppression. This lands right in that space of deliverance. Give us this day our daily bread and deliver us from evil. Many think they see a demon possession under every rock when it's really evil oppression. So if none of us are good, if there's not one that's righteous, if we all fall short of the glory of God, if at one time we were all enemies, we were all sinners, if we all have the tendency to move towards evil and away from God, evil's in our own flesh. Evil's in our own flesh. We don't need demonic possession to do evil. God just kind of lets you go your own way. It's hell without God. It's just a serpent to deceive you. Was Adam and Eve ever possessed? Look what happened to the world. There's no possession. Deception. Disobedience. That's all that's required. The saints, the Holy Spirit-filled believer is told to put on the full armor of God because the enemy is going to come at you with his fiery darts. And just because you get influenced and attacked by the enemy doesn't mean you get indwelt by the enemy. Most of us deal with oppression, not possession. And so here's your next slide. You don't need an exorcist for what's in you. You need an exterminator for what's around you. Listen, if you believe the scriptures, demon possession is real. But rare. Demon oppression is real, and it's an epidemic. Another created being from another dimension infiltrating and taking over your body? Highly unlikely. But another created being influencing you, throwing darts at you, poking you, persuading you? It's a plague. It's a plague. Is every evil a demonic possession? Holocaust and genocide. Criminal crimes against humanity. Ethnic cleansing, rape, murder, famine, torture, theft, gossip, gluttony. It doesn't take demon possession. It only takes the stirring it up. Stirring up hatred, stirring up discord. Spreading rumors, fake news, gossip. Let's incite some riots. New Life Alliance Church, we're in the deliverance ministry. Here in this place, we encounter all kinds of spirits, and we clean them out. We cast out spirits of anger and greed and lust, spirits of selfishness and unrighteousness, even generational influences. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, be free. You're a new creation. We can call a lot of things demon possession if we choose. It's be the semantics of language. Influenced and possessed by a demon of anger? Cast it out. You think you're influenced and possessed by the demon of greed? You got the demon of greed. Cast it out. You got the demon of lust all over you. Cast it out. You can call it whatever you want to call it. It's depending upon how you're going to define evil possession. And many infiltrate the church or possessed the evil of men. Hatred and racism and discord and gossip and malice and sexual impurity and jealousy and pride and arrogance and drunkenness. Have you not heard? The kingdom of God will not be inherited by such as these. And these are character traits of the flesh. I'm not describing a demon. I'm describing people. people. You live like that, you're not walking in the Holy Spirit of God. Now listen, I don't know all my theology. I don't know if you can be filled in the Holy Spirit of God and have a demon inside you. I know you can be influenced by him. And the church can serve as exorcist and exterminator. And in the authority and the power of Jesus' name. In this place, this day, don't you dare walk out of here thinking in any shape or shadow of emotion that you are demon possessed. You might have evil tendencies of men, but aren't we all? And we support each other, encourage each other, we love each other, we pray over each other, lay hands on each other, we hold each other up, all in the name of Jesus. Well, now listen, give me this next slide. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. You sing it, church, come on. In the name of Jesus, there is power. In the name of Jesus, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. One more time. Come on, sing it like you believe it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Are you thinking about it or do you believe it? In the name of Jesus. To do what? Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Father, in this place, this day, break any chain, break every chain. We desire to walk in freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ? For whatever reason, God has called you to be the ambassador, to share the good news, to proclaim Jesus Christ. He's called you to be the body. Why are you dislocated? For whatever reason, hands and the feet, the voice, to be the body. You know what happens when people start to encounter the Holy Spirit of God? They start to move in the freedom that is theirs in Jesus Christ. When they start to walk in the confidence and the victory that they proclaim, not by word, but they start walking like they're confident and they believe. And they have authority over all the darkness and authority over all the demons and authority and self-control over their own evil tendency. You know what people do when they start walking like that? They start praising God. They confront evil and they walk in the authority of God. You know what else? They start talking. People talk. There's your last one. This is what they do. News about them spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. People started talking. That's what they did. That's what you should be doing. They couldn't keep quiet about Jesus. They couldn't keep quiet about what he had done. They couldn't keep quiet about what they heard. They couldn't keep quiet about what they saw. They had to tell somebody. When you encounter Jesus Christ, you talk. Now you'll be for him or you'll be against him, but you will talk. You'll be amazed or you'll stare in disbelief. You will come under conviction or you'll run away in your guilt and your shame, but you will talk. There is no doubt you will consider him. How you respond, very personal, very personal. I'm not responsible for your reaction. I'm responsible to bring it to you. Here it is. Will you take it? Here it is. Will you partake? Here it is. Do you believe in the word of God? Here it is, the authority that's yours and the power of Jesus Christ. Will you walk in it? Will you talk about it? His fame grew all throughout the region and all around the world, we know. People started talking about Jesus. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?